Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon, and Arsenal invincible Martin Keown reacted to a shocking night at Anfield as Atalanta left Jurgen Klopp's European hopes hanging by a thread. Is it time for Liverpool to put all their eggs in the Premier League basket? Meantime, Philippe Clement has pushed back on claims that Rangers refused to play Dundee last week. We bring you an update on the situation that caused much controversy yesterday. Plus, the Premier League have voted to bring in semi-automated offside technology next season. But why the delay? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. Liverpool beaten 3-0 at Anfield by Atalanta to suffer their first home defeat in 34 games. And what does that do? Well, obviously, it leaves their European hopes hanging by a thread. Klopp, post-match.
We played a bad game. We deserved to lose. And we must feel that now. But the boys have exactly this night to feel bad about it, and then we have to build up again for the Crystal Palace game. So that's how it is. And nobody thinks in the moment. I mean, you asked me probably about the game next Thursday, but there's Crystal Palace in between. So congratulations, Atalanta. Really well done.
I mean, quite clearly, Martin, he was almost stuck for words himself. The first game of six in 16 days, and they lose 3-0 at home. Is this the worst possible time, Martin, to run out of gas?
It's not a good time, is it? And it was interesting when, because I think Klopp sums it up brilliantly, and he said after the game that we were everywhere and nowhere. And what he means by that is people are just running around crazily. And I think it's one of those where you have to play not with your hearts, you play with your heads. And I think the emotion is maybe coming a bit too big for some of the players. And they just need to take a step back, Jim. He wants them to hurt. He wants them to feel that hurt. But when you see players, you know, shooting from distance, crazy situations, not being patient, and all the crowd as well, they're all involved, aren't they? Everybody wants this perfect finish for Klopp. You know, been an amazing manager. And I think it's almost like it's sort of reaching out and grabbing them around the throat. And they're not really fulfilling their dream that they want. But I think Klopp can kind of make it better again, because he sees it like the moon of what they need to do. And they just need to win at home against Palace at the weekend, and then everything starts to look much better in their world. But I think maybe it does look like the Europa League's gone. 3-0 down. We've seen them come back before, though, Jim. I just think this one now is just a little bit too far. Maybe it's outside of their grasp, but it might help them to become Premier League champions. I like their run-in more than any other team, but they've got to wake up now.
You're wanting in this. Go on.
Well, I'm not sure. That's right. I'm not sure that the emotion is overtaking people. I think that's an outside noise rather than an inside noise. I think it's ironic, given I think that Arsenal's performance on Wednesday was fraught with emotion and freneticism that ultimately cost them the opportunity to beat what is not a particularly great Bayern Munich side. So emotion is part of football. It's how you channel it. I don't think Liverpool overloaded with emotion because it's Klopp last season.
Are you saying then that Liverpool have bottled it then?
No, I think they've had a bad performance.
So you'd say that about Arsenal, though, wouldn't you?
What, but Liverpool haven't
bottled
anything yet, have they? Because ultimately they're still in the competitions that they're in. You know, playing Man United on a game like they played on the weekend is a fixture that can produce results. Like we'll see when Tottenham play Arsenal on the 28th, which I'm going to, we'll see how Arsenal cope with that because it's got all the ingredients of a very difficult game.
Well, Man City have lost there and Liverpool have
lost
there.
In the same way that Liverpool have got, albeit through VAR. I don't think Liverpool have bottled anything right now. Arsenal clearly bottled it last season because they were on top of the league. They might not have expected to have been there, and we understand all of that. But the manner in which they lost the league was by losing games and drawing games on a run of fixtures when the business end of the season came on top to teams that they should never have lost and dropped points to. Now we go to Liverpool. They've not been. I don't think they've been playing particularly well recently, and I think they've got through a few games for a variety of reasons. I don't think Salah's been fit. I think people that are fasting all day as a result of the religion coming on a pitch are always going to be slightly tired. So I think those sort of things play into the reasons why Salah may not have been as effective as he's been before. But I look at Liverpool yesterday and I think none of us saw that result coming. None of us thought that Atalanta would go there. And maybe that's because there's an arrogance about the English Premier League, or maybe it's because Atalanta haven't been in good nick recently. But Liverpool had one bad game. We'll see if they bounce back from it. So it's not a case of bottling. It's not about whataboutery. Arsenal bottled it last year. They're not bottling it this year. They're my favourites to win the league. But I do think when we're talking about emotion, the emotion that Arsenal showed was the emotional immaturity in the manner in which they handled the game against Bayern Munich, because they were all over it, because the atmosphere inside the stadium was absolutely affecting the players, because it was like a frenetic, mad 20 minutes where they let Bayern Munich back in the game when they had control of it.
Yeah, there was a mistake made, wasn't there? The goalkeeper's miles out of his goal.
Yeah.
Gabriel then can't pass back to him. So I don't see it that way. That people bottle it. I don't think Liverpool are bottling it. I don't necessarily like that terminology. I think it's too easy. I think it's lazy journalism, to be honest with you. I think that Liverpool are just going through a process. It's a new group. It's a brand new group of players, really. Look, Salah has done Ramadan every year for many years. So let's not
lose 3-0 at home to Atalanta at any time?
No, but what I'm trying to say to you is
they're losing games,
trying to win them, aren't they? There's no balance. Their basics have gone out the window. That's an emotional reaction to what's all around them. Look at the atmosphere and the emotion that is filled at Anfield. That's what that ground is about.
When you manage that
and capture that, who suffered most in COVID? Who lost the most games at Anfield?
But that's a lazy journalist.
They rely heavily on their players.
They won the league during COVID.
On their fans.
All right, they won the league during COVID. It's lazy journalism.
Hold on, did they?
Yeah, well, of course they did.
The first year, the second year they didn't, did they?
But COVID. During COVID, they won the league. The following season, they had a drop-off.
Yeah.
For a variety
Massive
of reasons.
Massive drop-off.
One of the worst defences of a Premier League that you can possibly see. No disagreement there. But when you're talking about Liverpool haven't changed the way they play. Liverpool aren't changing because Klopp is leaving. They're maintaining the same way that they've played since the get-go. This Klopp team is a feral team. It plays on the front foot. It doesn't know how to do anything else. And every now and again, it's going to have a result like this. Very few and far between. And the scale of this result is something that we're all reacting to. But it's no different to what Arsenal did against Bayern Munich on Tuesday, except Arsenal got a draw out of the game. But they handled it in an emotional fashion. Teams can be emotional. And it's part of the game, isn't it? Yeah, surely.
When you play Manchester United, what is the most emotional game for a Liverpool player? Manchester United.
Yeah.
And they went out the FA Cup to them. In like incredible circumstances, and
that's
they've
true.
Allowed Manchester United to take a big dent out of their Premier League.
What do you
which
think about what
the door
Jimmy Carragher
is
saying, Martin? That put all your eggs in the Premier League basket. Go for it.
No, that's not the way.
The second leg's gone in the Europa League.
Being a professional, an ex-professional, should know it doesn't work that way. There's a pride. There's wearing that badge as a Liverpool player. You go out there. You need to put something back for that club in the away game. And they'll be doing that, no doubt.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Liverpool 0, Atalanta 3. And at Liverpool, of course, where does it leave them? With Jurgen Klopp himself leaving at the end of the season. James is an Arsenal fan. Even he's saying go for it. Liverpool came back from 3-0 down in a final. They can beat Atalanta next week. It comes from winning, gives momentum. And Liverpool fans know that. If they aren't going to go for it out at Bergamo, then don't even bother flying there. James, I'm inclined to agree with you. Earlier on this morning, I spoke to Didi Haman, one time of Liverpool, and of course played in some amazing games, not least that final, of course, in Istanbul. And we spoke, he and I, about Liverpool's approach come the second leg in Italy.
Well, you have to see whether you've got all the players available. You know, a lot of some players came back from injury now. If you had full strength, I think you should go and try to win the game, because obviously it's the only title Klopp hasn't won in his tenure at Liverpool. And, you know, 3-0 is obviously not a pretty way to start a game against Atalanta away from home. But, you know, I think there's still a chance. And if they've got the players available, if it's down to fatigue that you say, well, I've got to make a decision. Do I go for the Europa League? Do I go for the Premier League? Then obviously I think the Premier League should be the focus for the result. But having all these players back, I think they've got enough resources now to really field a strong team at Atalanta, which still gives them a chance to go through.
Didier, they play Crystal Palace on Sunday. Depending on that result, does that dictate what should happen after that match?
Well, I'm not sure, because the only thing that can happen is bad things on Sunday, because I think, you know, the way Arsenal and City are going, you've got to expect them to win games. So if you were to lose against Palace or not win, obviously would put even more emphasis on the game against Atalanta, which would mean you have to field a strong team. I think it's far too early to make a decision. Now, you've got to see what's happening on Sunday. And as I said, if you've got these players available, why not go out there and try to win 3-0? I think it's not impossible. I think if you look at the players, I think Liverpool got better players. Obviously, they got beat fair and square yesterday. But it's not out of the equation that they go to Bergamo and turn that result round. So I'd wait for Sunday. Hopefully they get a good result, so confidence comes back a little bit after yesterday's defeat. And then I would go to Atalanta and really try to field the team that gives us a chance. Because, you know, you're in the last eight. You've got a chance to go to the semi-final. The final is in Dublin. I think it's a great incentive to go for it.
But as you say, Didi, focus on the Premier League. The focus of attention should be on the Premier League.
In a way, it's got to be on both. Obviously, in the Premier League, you've got a better chance to win it now because of the result of yesterday's result. But at the same time, I think you've got to keep your options open. And now with most players back fit, I think they have to feel a strong team in Atalanta. And I don't think Liverpool should go to a game in a quarter-final of a European competition and say, you know, just get the game out of the way, get a draw, get beat 1-0, and we go back to Liverpool. You know, I don't think that should be the case. And if they were to win on Sunday, which I hope and which I expect, I really think about fielding the strongest team, because I don't think it's out of the equation. Atalanta is a good team. I don't think it's a team that's unbeatable. They've done ever so well yesterday. But I think there's a chance that Liverpool goes and still goes through. And I think that's the team they should field.
Amazing. Didi Hamann. I mean, he knows what it takes to turn a game around. He did it in his time at Liverpool. Of course he did. But this would take a bit of turning around. But he says it's doable. It's doable. 0371722334810 89. Martin Keown's alongside Simon and myself this morning. So let's get on with it. Alan, big Liverpool fan. Alan, are you still trying to come to terms with the fact that it was 3-0 Atalanta? Good morning.
Morning, mate. Yeah, absolutely, mate. I think the whole Liverpool fan base is shell-shocked. Still unbelievable what happened. But look, it happened, and I don't think it's in Klopp's DNA to go there and field a weakened side and you know, be rolled over and focus on the league. It's not in his DNA. We'll go for it. Of course we will. But for me, we haven't had our full 11 for a while now. We've obviously had Kelleher in goal. We've had Quansah at the back. And they've been great all season, even the young lads in the academy when they did in the cup final, all fantastic. But I think it's the big boy time of the season, and I think we need all our stars back, and we need, you know, to thank the kids, stick them back on the bench and call on them when we need them. And it's painful to say that, because they've been great all year, but there was a mistake last week from Quansah in the United match. Kelleher could have done a little bit better on that first goal yesterday, and probably the other one. So yeah, look, Let's see what happens. But yeah, I think it's time for the big boys to come back.
Alan, do you take them to win the Premier League?
If you'd have asked me before United, it was nailed on. But now, and after last night, I don't know. Who knows? Fingers crossed, but look.
Alan, thanks for the call. James is a big Liverpool fan. James, I'm coming to you. I'm looking at a message from Tom. Is it just me, or does Klopp get too much of a let-off when he's basically won one trophy every 2 years? Yeah, he's done a brilliant job and he's a great manager. But if Fergie or Pep had his record, where would they be, says Tom. James, good morning. What's your take on it all?
Yeah, morning, gents. Look, just coming back from the game, because I took my son to his first game. Just firstly, congratulations to Atlanta. They were good. They went man for man in the midfield, didn't give our players time to turn on the ball and distribute the ball. But we had a lot of chances in the game, and I fully believe that if we go to Atlanta full strength, Jota back in the team, Jota looked lively when he came back on. I really think we can turn that result around, especially with Trent coming back. You know, like the last caller said, the youngsters have been fantastic. But, you know, just to challenge, you know, Simon and Martin on the emotion side, we can still win the Premiership, absolutely. You know, Man City and Arsenal will have the same emotions we've got. Yes, we want to win it for Jurgen.
I'm agreeing with you. I don't think your emotions are out. Martin is making the case that the emotions and the expectation for Klopp's final knockings are laid heavy on the team's shoulders, and I don't think that's the case. I think Liverpool are playing with the same gusto and the same style they've played since he walked in the door.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Man City and Arsenal are going to have exactly the same emotions. You know, it's a tight running. We've not had that for years in the Premiership. It's great for the Premiership. We can definitely go to Atlanta and turn over. We created chances last night. That's the big thing that's got to change in this team at the minute. We have got to start taking our chances. It cost us against Man U in the FA Cup. Cost us last Sunday. And I really think we'll have a reaction against Palace. And I can see it's, you know, tonking Palace. It will click
careful
again with Trent coming back and Jota coming back.
Tonking Palace?
Oh, yeah. I don't think Simon liked the tonking of Palace bit, James. But listen, well done you. Safe home. Martin, there is a degree of optimism. There's a degree of optimism out there amongst Liverpool fans that they can do it. And they have to be. Looking at it that way, do they not? You can't possibly go to Bergamo and say, this thing's done.
There's lots of twists and turns to come in this league at the moment. I mean, I'm looking at the Atalanta game, and then it's going to be two away games. So it'll be three away games on the bounce. Fulham away, West Ham away. And then, you know, they've got Spurs at home. Man City, Arsenal both play Spurs. Yes, they do, but they play away from home. And this year, Spurs have already beaten Man City. Sorry, they've already beaten Liverpool, haven't they, at home. So... yeah, there's lots of...
With help from VAR.
With help from VAR.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, do you know, I mean, people saying we shouldn't underestimate this. I mean, Arsenal and Man City are not being faced with their manager leaving the football club. So there's a slightly different dynamic. Now, we talked about the positives of that, if they can handle it and use that as energy and as oxygen for their team. But it just seemed to me, if it was getting in the way a little bit last night, and it's like this comment from the manager of everywhere and nowhere, you know, rung some bells for me. So I think he'll sort it out. And it might then just, let's get back on track here. And let's like, because I do feel they're in the strongest position looking at the fixtures that they've got, Jim.
Before we hit the break, tell me that story you told me when you and I were sitting through there in the main office about a game you played in, and the opponents had no shots on target, no shots on goal, and you lost it 2-0.
We did. An Arsenal game at Highbury, Middlesbrough. I think we had copious amounts of shots. They didn't have a single shot on target, and we scored 2 own goals and lost. It can happen. Football has a rude way of slapping you in the face.
Yeah.
Everyone in that journey, you know, it was interesting. I listened to a YouTube interview from Jurgen Klopp. I think he nails it brilliantly, talking about how you're in this sort of tunnel, really. And, you know, the games come along so quickly. You can't even enjoy, can you? You have a nice result. You think, God, just a few more days, please. And here we go. Crikey, we're back in involved
straight
again.
Straight into it. Yeah.
And your reputation's all on the line. You've got to keep producing.
Well, that is a fact, isn't it? I mean, last night was the first game of 6 in 16 days for Liverpool. Dave, the Liverpool fan, I think you pretty much nailed it, mate. Focus on Sunday's game against Palace. Then go for the second leg in Bergamo. It's a free hit. So what? Whatever happens, happens. The damage was done last night. Get over it. Dave, you're right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
So many of you got involved in this discussion yesterday regards the postponement of Dundee Rangers. This is a game that Rangers are wanting to get played up on Tayside. This is a game that Dundee would like to play themselves. But the game was called off in midweek because of the weather. The weather has really been bad. There has been so much heavy rain in that part of the world that they cannot, it seems, get this game on. Now, there was talk last week that Rangers themselves were not keen to play the game in the run-up to the match against Celtic. Information has come to me that that maybe is not the case. I have information this morning that it was never an option, as Dundee themselves told the SPFL on the 2nd and 3rd of April that their pitch was not playable. Hence, there were issues leading up to the Motherwell game at the weekend. The whole situation has become farcical, says one observer. In any case, Philippe Clement spoke about this just yesterday, and he, in his own way, tried to bring us up to date with the Rangers' perspective.
Where are we going to play?
Normally in Dundee. If it's not possible, it need to be somewhere else. But that we know now, Tuesday, 12 o'clock, before we travel, that we know what's going to happen. Although we need to make then several plans, so I hope that we know already a few days before where the other venue will be.
If it's decided on Tuesday that Dens Park is once again not able to take the game, and the decision is made that it's going to be in another venue behind closed doors, how would you feel about no supporters there?
That is a disadvantage, of course, but it is what it is. We need to adapt. Like when it was COVID, we didn't like it also. But our mindset is whatever decisions are made, we go to win games. That's the mindset. So no excuses around that.
Wouldn't rule out a game behind closed doors then?
Mm?
You wouldn't rule out playing behind closed doors?
Yeah, of course. If that's the decision, we will play behind closed doors. If they ask us to play on Mars, we go to Mars, we take the flight. To win the 3 points, it's about that. That's our mindset of all group, of me and all my players.
So, I mean, conventional wisdom suggests that it's not going to be on Mars. But when will it be played? And where will it be played? Well, you would think it's going to be played at Dens Park. Now, Simon Clement revealed there'll be a decision made at 12 noon next Tuesday. And of course, if Rangers win this game, they would go top of the league. It's very difficult to get your head around this without apportioning blame, but it does look as though Dundee have got themselves a problem. We heard yesterday that there was an unwillingness from Rangers' point of view to play it last week because of the game coming so close to the Celtic game, and they didn't really fancy that clutter, if you like, in the fixture list. That appears now not to be the case. It was Dundee who went to the SPFL and said, look,
that's either a matter of fact or it's not.
Right.
No, I don't think in the conversation. What you've got is a bunch of tin-eared Rangers fans that have started piling onto your and mine observations about what we actually said yesterday. What we said was, I don't like the tone and texture of Rangers' high-handed, high-hatted, pompous epistle to the world, about what they think they're entitled to say and what they think they're not entitled. I don't think anyone is suggesting that Dundee have done a good job. If you're getting five games cancelled in a season and 15 games cancelled in the last 2.5 seasons, then you're not doing something well, are you? And clearly, we've heard callers come in. We had a lady called Shona phoning in and telling us that it was all to do with the drainage. And having owned a football club, I probably agree with her that the actual provision of the game, if you've got Dundee United across the road at Tannadice being able to put on games and Dundee can't at Dens Park, then there's something wrong.
Right.
And so no one disputed that. It's the manner and the tone in which Rangers decided to address the subject that I think primarily got up my nose.
You didn't like their statement?
Well, I think it's unnecessary. I think ultimately it's unnecessary for them to have said that. There may be, if I'm not living and breathing the experiences. I mean, how many times have Rangers had games cancelled at Dens Park? If Rangers get a game cancelled at Dens Park every season, 2 or 3 times, then take this attitude. But you aren't the judgment of the Scottish Premier League. You don't need to bring in fixtures and attendances and what's going on in the league, because you and your fans aren't beyond criticism. So I just think the balance in what they said was wrong, but clearly they're right. And if indeed the idea that was mooted, the information that was provided at the time, was that Rangers were the architects and not wanting to play the game last week, and that information has now been amended, it's appropriate that we amend our information and our reaction to it.
Jim, this doesn't really reflect very well on the Scottish Premier League, does it really? I mean, in terms of
not having fans inside the Old Firm games.
Yeah, but fit for purpose, like pitch, call me old-fashioned, but you do expect the pitch to be ready, don't you?
Of course.
The other pitch we're talking about here, Dundee United, is just 200 metres away. They've only had one game called off in that time, and that was through frost. So something's very wrong here with the pitch.
Well, this
and
that is needs true, to I mean, that stat, since January 2021, Dundee have had 15 home games postponed. In the same period, Dundee United, for those who don't know, live across the road from Dens Park, Dundee. Dundee United have had one game postponed. So the two grounds are side by side.
It's a drainage issue, isn't it? As was indicated.
It is. What annoyed you, Simon, was that Rangers accused Dundee of negligence and unprofessionalism. But
no, it's a tone. I mean, listen, it's not their job to do that. It's the SPFL's job. They don't run the Scottish League. They're a participant in it. We don't need their opinion on it. It's one game that's been cancelled. And quite frankly, they're probably right. But they aren't the judge, juror and executioner of the league. So it's up to somebody else. If the SPFL came out and said that, and if Neil Doncaster popped his head above the parapet and said, this isn't good enough, pull yourself together or we're going to start sanctioning you, then you'd say that's the governing body. You aren't the governing body. You're a participant in it. And it wasn't so long ago that you were booted out of the league.
But there's been suggestions of climate change. And this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, but that was a club secretary saying something rather ridiculous. But
You know, and I don't know, there's talk as well, Jimmy, if you look at it, the groundsman's changed and he was being blamed in the past. It's the drainage. Yeah. You know, it's ridiculous. So get it sorted. And it's embarrassing, Jim. You're talking about coefficiency for European competition, and then you see this. They can't even get games on in their own league. There needs to be a sanction here. Or monies from the Champions League team needs to filter to these clubs so they can afford to do it. They're even using the excuse of a new stadium, but I don't even think they've got a planning application in yet. So get the pitch sorted that you have got.
No, it's poor. There's no doubt. And to all the Rangers fans that have taken exception to observations, it's no doubt that Dundee are at fault here. And given the fact that we've got new information that suggests that Rangers weren't the ones that moved the game, fine, we'll fall on our sword for that one.
So when
it
does
doesn't
the game
mean you get to write that crap and stand there with a highfalutin attitude over the rest of the Scottish
League?
No,
but now you've got. But now you affect the competition, because they'll be playing that game after everybody else, by the looks of things, because it won't be played next Wednesday, Jim, with the weather report we have.
Well, I mean, incredibly, they're going to make a decision next Tuesday, but on the Wednesday on Tayside, which is that area where Dundee is positioned, 40% rain is expected. So, I mean, this is going to go on and on. The fact is, Simon, maybe it was a heavy-handed statement from Rangers and they didn't need to be so brutal with some of the terminology
that
was used in that.
That's the only thing I have an exception with.
The other thing is Dundee, if they are a top-flight club, Martin...
Got to do better.
They've got to do better.
Well, I mean...
About addressing the situation of the disastrously poor drainage at Dens Park and get it sorted.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to point...
Because up until now, as well as this fixture with Rangers being postponed twice, Dundee have also had home games against Aberdeen, Ross County and St Johnstone called off this season.
Yeah, and I mean, we look at, the money just not there, is it? I mean, but they obviously have to be made. There's certain
they
conditions.
They have to be made.
There are certain conditions.
I mean,
look at
Luton. Tell them?
In our Premier League.
The SPFL.
Correct. So it's not Rangers' job to tell them. It's the SPFL's job to tell
where
them.
Where are they in all this? Where are they?
Well, conspicuously absent, it would seem. The condemnation and the sanction and the admonishment should be coming from the governing body,
yeah,
not the self-appointed.
I believe Dundee came up this year, didn't they? Is that right? They came up from the championship.
I think what we've got to realise is next week we've got to be ready to get into the ribs of the SPFL and Dundee, and we'll see Rangers what they've got to say about it as well. Because the chances are the game will not go ahead next Wednesday. As you look at the
weather
forecast.
Jimmy, in the English Premier League, look at the money that Luton had to spend to try and bring their ground up to speed. So why is it that then they come up? Think Dundee come up this season?
And all this time, I'm shocked because Luton got £110 million,
yes,
and Dundee got a bag of gobstoppers.
Yeah, but so let's distribute the money better than in Scotland.
There's no money to distribute.
What about the guarantee? Champions League money this year?
They get 30 million, 2-6. They get 30 for the rest of the
season. They'll get a slice of that. A small amount, but they should be getting
a bigger
one.
They get 30 million across however many teams in all of the Scottish leagues. It's nothing.
Against a backdrop, Simon, that from next season, Scottish Premiership champions will no longer automatically make it into the group stage of the Champions League after the Czech Republic overtook Scotland to take 10th spot in UEFA's coefficient rankings. So, I mean, this season, they're fine. But thereafter, for the record, Victoria Pilsen's goalless draw at Fiorentina in the Europa Conference League quarterfinal first leg on Thursday meant that the Scottish title winners beyond the current campaign will face one qualification round, and the club finishing second will need to battle through three qualifiers to reach the group stage. So it's going to become, not from next season, but the one after, a lot more difficult, Martin.
Of course it is, and even, potentially even less money will be distributed to all the two clubs.
It's going to revert to what it's gone back to what it was. And in part, the reason for that is the pathetic performance of the two Scottish clubs in the Champions League qualifying groups, where they haven't pulled up any trees. I'm disappointed because I really wanted... I want Scottish football to be better. I want it to produce the kind of players that it produced in the 70s and 80s so we can take them over to the Premier League and make them even better.
Steady.
But I want...
Financial golf is just too big, though.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. But the point is that, you know, the Champions League is made up of so many teams that aren't champions. There's something that's fundamentally wrong. They should be head up under the Trade Descriptions Act because you're marketing it as the Champions League and champions aren't in it. Fourth place teams in leagues are in it. It's preposterous
when
you really
look,
think
it
about
makes it.
It
makes it look like Scottish teams are on their knees when they can't even get a pitch that's fit for purpose in their own top league.
Well, economically, besides Rangers and Celtic, most of them are.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Martin, you'll be interested to hear this. Premier League clubs have unanimously approved the use of semi-automated offside technology for next season. It is coming in. Certainly everybody else has got it, so why haven't we? It is a question, actually, and a relevant one. Why does it seem that the Premier League are the last to do this? When I say it's coming in next season, it's actually coming in September or October of next season. So we actually start next season without it, and then we inherit it. Semi-automated offside technology. They had it in Qatar at the World Cup. Simon, you and I saw it there, and by and large, it was pretty darned impressive. It's expected that it could cut the length of a video assistant referee, VAR in other words, a check for offside, by 31 seconds. So, what does it mean? There's going to be 12 cameras at a game, there's going to be a sensor in the ball, the assistant ref gets buzzed, makes a decision as to whether or not the player's interfering with play, the decision is virtually made for him. Martin, this can only be good, can it not?
Yeah, it's good, but I'm perplexed as to why it doesn't start our next season. Why have we got to wait until September, October before we're prepared to use it? I don't understand why that is. I can only think the ball that we're using, maybe the sponsor has not got a ball ready. There's sensors within the ball. But I find that perplexing and troubling that the Premier League is a little bit behind the curve here. Because if other, you know, the top five leagues are, or some of them are using it, why are we waiting till Jim till October?
We hear that it's more time for them to experiment with it, isn't it? And then they go live with it September,
Trust.
October. They're hoping that there will be nil glitches in the system by the time they launch it September, October.
What we currently got is we've got the Champions League using it.
Yeah.
So where are the other domestic leagues in terms of their implementation of it? Are they running with that instantaneous implementation at the beginning of the season? Are they pushing back and waiting for some testing? Contextually, what is it designed to do? Is it designed to produce statistically better outcomes, or is it designed to produce quicker outcomes? Because if it's designed to
be both
more accurate.
Well, if it's designed to produce quicker outcomes, then that's not going to compromise the sporting integrity of anything, because ultimately all you're doing is getting a quick decision quicker, which is one of the bugbears that we all have, is how long these things are taking.
Right.
If statistically, and if we have only been running it in international games and Champions League games, then we don't have a great level of information to say statistically it'll be better. Look, I don't know why the Premier League would want to delay it until October. I would assume that there's plenty of good reasons behind it. I don't know why the Premier League decided, they've got form here, to suggest that the monitor, that the, every other league would bring a monitor in for the referee to have an on-field monitor in terms of going over to it. And it took us a season to decide to do that. Right? And it would be interesting to see what their explanation is before we race to condemn. What do we want? Do we want to be the first ones out of the gate and then have everyone scream at us when the technology isn't doing what we want it to do? Or would we rather have them do a little bit of testing and maybe testing alongside live games and doing it in some sort of simulated environment so it replicates itself?
We'll
running
do that
along,
now then.
Running
alongside. Do that now, the end of this season.
Well, I don't know why
speed
they wouldn't.
Up the process.
I don't know why they wouldn't, Martin, because ultimately you've got the richest league in the world and you've got a league that's perfectly capable of doing whatever it wants. So I would assume
this has to be an upgrade.
It might be wrong. There is a very good reason for them doing it. But
well,
again,
we had it in Qatar, Simon, and it worked well. It's going to be operated at the Euros in Germany.
Yeah.
So you kind of think...
But where's domestic football?
Listen,
on this?
Premier League.
But where's domestic football?
It works, so use it.
Fine, but where is domestic football on it? If we are the outliers and every other domestic league in European football is doing something different, then I'll have that conversation and I'll say, why are we being this way? But at this moment in time, we've talked about international and Champions League games and whether the configuration of the software that they have and the approach to it because of the enormous wealth that the Champions League brings has a different dynamic to it, I don't know. Whether it's because you've got to get clubs coming up from the Championship, they've got to adapt their software and their infrastructure and their hardwiring into the scenario, whether the existing hardwiring framework has only just reached a certain level that it can be upgraded to another level. I don't know the answers to this. I'm assuming there's some sense here.
The thing is, that might be
the wrong assumption.
When it comes in, it's going to be quite a stark change because it's expected it will cut the length of a VAR, the video assistant referee, his check for offside by 31 seconds, Martin. So all of a sudden, the games are going to flow a hell of a lot quicker. When it comes to offside, the decision's made virtually like that and on we go.
Yeah, but time,
so we're going to have to get used to that.
Yeah, time is one thing, but let's get the accuracy. And this is like technology. We know now, there's all a bit of guesswork, wasn't it, before? Drawing lines in quick speed. When does the ball actually leave or make contact from the foot? Now, of course, all these sensors in the ball, this will all be speeded up, be much more accurate. I would have thought that you would want that from day one in the competition.
Yeah.
And that you'd even if everybody else is risking it, if the other top five leaves across Europe, we're just trying to
look at it. Syria and Italy use it at the moment. La Liga somewhat dragging its feet, saying not next season, but the season after next.
Okay, so then we're not the outliers then.
No.
So we're not behind the curve.
But do we want to be the front runners? Why can't we be leading the way?
Sometimes innovation is quite expensive. And the problem with innovation in our world, in the football world, is no one's got any tolerance of it because immediately you're judged by it. You try to innovate, you get first generation technology, and all of a sudden people judge it by a set of standards. And then forever and a day there on afterwards,
it's not brand new technology,
condemned.
Is it?
Well, yes, it is. We used it
in the World Cup
over a year ago. But depending how it's integrated.
In our biggest competition.
But hang on. Think about the stadiums in Qatar. They were purpose-built stadiums built within the last 5 years to be able to accommodate the next generation of technology. Look at the stadiums in the Premier League, and a lot of them are not. So I'm not suggesting I'm giving the Premier League a pass, because I'll be with you, jump straight on their throat and tell them what they do and don't do. But let's get context. La Liga is a wealthy league. They haven't taken it, right? So I wonder if the Bundesliga are taking it, because you would have thought the Germans and their way of approaching the world would be wanting to do it. If they're not taking it either, then there must be a reason. And actually, we're in front of the curb. Because if other leagues aren't doing it and we're doing it before them, we're prepared to embrace it next season, why aren't we turning it on its head and saying, well, actually, well done, because you are at the front of the queue.
But
we might not be first out of the gate, but we're not far behind
it. Why would you do it halfway through a competition?
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review. Wherever you get your podcasts from, we're back next week to bring you the best of the show.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.